young girl was picked to run a 100-meter hurdle race in the district sports. She had dreamed of this moment for weeks, standing at the start line, the school bib hugging her chest like a badge of honor, 11 years old, bright-eyed, ready to fly. Her classmates watched from the sidelines, their voices blending into a roaring wave of encouragement. Her heart pounded as she crouched into position. The gun fired. She surged forward, legs pumping, wind rushing past her ears. The first hurdle approached. She leapt, clearing it with ease. The second came into sight. She gathered herself, pushed off, but something went wrong. Her foot clipped the top. The hurdle crashed down. She tumbled hard onto the track. Silence. Then gasps. From the sidelines, a voice broke through. Then another. Then a chorus. Get up! Keep going! Pain prickled her knee, but there was no time for tears. The race was still hers to finish. I have titled my sermon this morning, Faithful to the End, and our reading will be from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. As a bit of an introduction, do you know who the author of Hebrews was? Any answers? A bit of a trick question, that one. The author is actually unknown, but you knew that, didn't you? But it was written as a message of encouragement to the Jewish Christians who were living in Rome around 64 AD when Emperor Nero was ruling. They'd been facing persecution, and the Jewish Christians were starting to doubt their faith in Jesus and were considering turning back to Judaism. So I read Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In Rome, around this time, the Romans raced lightweight, two-wheeled chariots pulled by teams of four horses. They would thunder around the track at breakneck speed for the thrill of the crowds who cheered them on. We have sporting races today which draw the crowds and which we eagerly watch on our TVs. Are there any in particular that you enjoy or follow, that you go live or watch on your TV? Any sports that you follow or races you follow? Formula One, yes? Yes, good. Sorry? Touring cars? I hadn't thought of that one, Graham. Sorry? Horse racing, yes. Tennis? Yes, it's a match, I suppose, but yes, yes. Okay, I came up with horse racing, the Grand National, Royal Ascot. Anyone been to Royal Ascot? Especially the ladies' day with their hats? Formula One, Dave already mentioned. Athletics, we've got the sprints, marathons, all those types of races. Cycling, the Tour de France. Someone's into cycling here, Andy. Are you into the Tour de France? And then, of course, we have Oxford and Cambridge and the boat race, which I don't know if you follow. So my first point this morning, run the race. When we become Christians, we join a different sort of race. Not a sporting race, but a race of faith. The Christian race is a metaphor used in the Bible to describe the journey of faith that believers undertake. It involves perseverance, discipline, and commitment to living a life devoted to God. A life of learning, following, and serving Jesus. And a life of allowing ourselves to encounter and be transformed by the Holy Spirit. The Christian race is not about competing against others, but it's about staying faithful, overcoming obstacles, and striving towards spiritual growth. It requires dedication, just like an athlete training for a marathon. Each of our races will look different and will be unique to us, as God has made us as unique individuals with our own sets of talents, skills, gifts, and our own passions and personalities, and equally with our own sets of challenges, disappointments, frustrations, and hurts. We have to run our own race. We can't run someone else's race. A cyclist attempting to compete in Formula One would be completely outmatched. They'd struggle to keep up with the blistering speed, precision, and power of a Formula One car. They'd be competing in the wrong race entirely. We need to ensure we are running our race that has been marked out for us, as Hebrew verse 1 says. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The amazing thing is that we don't run our race alone. There are all God's people who have gone before us, who are cheering us on. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. You get the idea. And those are just the names from the Old Testament. And you can check those out in Hebrews 11. But we also have all the Old Testament characters. And then we also have all our faithful people that have gone before us in our churches and in our society. And of course, we also have each other to encourage and support us as we continue to remain faithful in our race. Such mutual support gets to the heart of authentic fellowship. So secondly, reach the goal. Every race has a goal, a finishing line. So what is the goal? The goal is to remain faithful to God, to resist distractions, and ultimately reach the finish line, which is eternal life in the glorious presence of God. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, He, as in God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Our goal is to remain faithful to what God has called us to do and be, so that at the end of the race, we can receive the prize. Paul in Philippians 3 verse 14 states, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. James 1 verse 12, Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him, the crown of life, eternal life in heaven. So thirdly, remain faithful. Revelation 2, verse 10b says, "Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." To get the victor's crown, we have to remain faithful, fixing our eyes on Jesus. What does that look like? It's all about remaining faithful to Jesus by spending time with him through prayer, listening as well as talking. Not just occasionally, but on a regular, daily basis, so we're able to discern and come to recognize God's voice. By reading our Bibles, studying and meditating on what we read. By immersing ourselves in what we read and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us. Through being obedient when we hear God's voice through the many ways he speaks to us. And if you'd like to discover more about how God speaks to us, then I can recommend Pete Gregg's book, How to Hear God. It's a very good read. Through resisting the temptations of this world and following Jesus' way rather than our own or the world's way. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It's really important to understand that this is unique to us as individuals and will also evolve and change at each stage of our life's journey. So fourthly, we're going to be finishing quite early today. Fourthly, rely on God. As we've already seen, we have the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, and we have each other to support and encourage one another. As we meet on a Sunday morning, in our home groups, prayer meetings, well-being cafe, social get-togethers, one-to-ones and the WhatsApp group, these are all opportunities and occasions where we can be a source of support and encouragement to each other. But even more importantly, we have Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12, verse 2. The Bible tells us that Jesus is consistently interceding for us, Romans 8, verse 34. I find that an amazing thought, that Jesus is sat at the right hand of God, praying for us right now. How awesome is that? Jesus is a faithful God. And we started our time together this morning declaring his faithfulness in our singing and our prayers. Isaiah 46, verse 4 says, "Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and rescue you." Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." We are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us at all times, encouraging us, strengthening us, carrying us. In the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." It's a beautiful reminder that God will never leave us. He will transform us. He's committed to seeing it through, shaping us day by day. He remains faithful to us to complete what he has started in us. How encouraging is that? So to conclude, run the race. What an amazing race it is to be part of. Reach the goal. Remain faithful and rely on God. It is an amazing race to be part of. It is never dull or boring. You never know what God has in store for you next. And I can witness to that this morning. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Let us be encouraged that we are not alone as we run the race to remain faithful in following our Lord Jesus. We are all given unique gifts, skills, passions, and personalities to be used for God's glory in building his kingdom. We may feel at times discouraged, weary, and pressured by life's challenges. But take heart. We have a faithful God who will sustain us. He will finish what he has started in us. And at times, he will carry us. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep our ears tuned into God speaking. And keep our hearts willing to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us run the race so that when we are at the finishing line, we can say, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So what is God saying to you this morning? Do you need to recommit to running the race marked out for you that is unique to you? Do you need to allow the Holy Spirit to refresh, strengthen, and empower you? Or maybe God is saying you could be a source of encouragement to someone by calling, emailing, inviting for coffee, sending a card, and the list goes on. We'll just take a moment now, and in the quiet, just reflect on what God might be saying to you. What the Holy Spirit might be revealing to you and wanting to do in your life. Dear Lord, I ask that you would encourage us and help us to be an encouragement to others. Help us to remain faithful to you in spite of what is going on around us. Give us the desire to be truly dedicated to you and your ways. And that we would persevere at all costs so that we can finish the race that you marked out for us. And we would reach the finish line and receive the crown of life. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do this alone, because you have given us the Holy Spirit to empower us, enable us to be all and be and do all for your glory. Amen. I thought you might like to hear how the story of the young girl ended. She got up, she dusted herself off, and she ran. Not for the medal, but for the victory of completing the race. Step by step, hurdle by hurdle, she made her way down the track. The cheers swelled, not for a winner, but for a fighter. And as she crossed the finish line, last but beaming, a warmth spread through her chest. She had done it. She had finished. And in that moment, that was enough. And that young girl was me.